I have hopes for some ideas that I've got that I'm hoping I will be able to give a little more oxygen to through the benefit of service on council. Equally, I'm also very much a realist. As a chamber of 12, 11 elected members and a Lord Mayor, 1/11th of the decision-making power, for want of a better word, on the floor of council, that's 1/11th that the Lord Mayor of the day doesn't enjoy, because the Lord Mayor only enjoys a casting vote in the event that the chamber is divided equally. When there are 11 members of the chamber, 11 elected members, that really can only occur, mathematically, it can only occur if and when one of the elected members or other withdraws, citing conflict of interest, or is absent for a variety of reasons, whether it's leave or other commitments. Elected members are not full-time councillors. We have day jobs. Those of us who still need to earn, those who are fortunate enough to be self-funded retirees, enjoy a different discretion over their time. It won't surprise you to hear me say that I have cultural aspirations for our city that are part of a continuing work in progress that I started before my last term on council in the 80s and 90s, and that I was able to shine a brighter light on during my time on council. And then I had the very good fortune of competing for and being selected to head up Arts SA, which put me in very close proximity to the Premier and the Cabinet of the day, and I was certainly able to influence some outcomes at that time. There were, of course, things that were beyond my ability to influence. And so coming into council now, in May 2020, with 2.5 years to go of this current term, in a council which certainly external observers, be it media or indeed avid council watchers, would suggest as one of the most bitterly divided and potentially dysfunctional city council chambers that we've seen in a long time, it's too early for me to definitively offer a perspective on that. I do know from my last time on council that just because something's reported a certain way in the media doesn't necessarily reflect a balanced account of what's going on. So I'm more than prepared to give everybody on the council the benefit of the doubt and treat with them civilly, respectfully, and creatively. I am aware that there is a faction that exists, a majority faction that therefore diminishes the ability of non-faction members to assert influence over policy and directions. I'm not going to get uptight about that. It is perhaps a characteristic of human behaviour that birds of a feather flock together. And what I do sincerely hope, though, is that those birds are not being flocked by external forces who have other agendas than the good future enhancement of the community's prospects and prosperity and environment. We'll see.
Well, I would really like to catch up with you in a few months.
Yeah. But look, Sue, back to your fundamental question, which I wasn't skirting. I just get a little discursive at midday. There are some things that I tried to articulate during the election campaign, and I've got to tell you, running an election campaign, putting yourself forward for election during a pandemic shutdown, is much, much harder task than would have been the case otherwise, in terms of an ability to reach people. No ability to stand up and talk to groups of people, no ability to door knock and handshake and eyeball people, proximity to be able to, for people to form an opinion about whether you have eye honesty, whether you are whether you seem to have integrity. I mean, I know I have integrity, mm. but it doesn't mean that I can assume that anyone who doesn't know me assumes the same. So that was a challenge, but it was a challenge that every candidate faced. Mm. There was the challenge of oxygen through, and media. The whole media of the world has been consumed mm. by the pandemic, and therefore the resources that already stressed and challenged traditional media platforms had to work with much, much less. And at the end of the day, like, we all have to have a reality check. This was a supplementary election, a by-election in one ward, in yes. one city.
Yes.
You know, like, the world does not revolve around, no, that's around right. that election campaign. I think somewhere between 18 and 19% of eligible voters bothered to vote. And that's, to me, a really distressing signal that our local democracy is not in good shape. A high result might have been an expression of disaffection. This result was more than the last by-election in 2015 in Central Ward, which is about 15.2%
really?
Voter turnout. But even still, at 18 point something percent, I think, embarrassingly low. For it reflects very poorly on local government and the community's regard for local government. It's not by any means an exclusive pathology of Adelaide City Council. Very, very low voter participation rates across local government in South Australia. Now, in some other states, local government has become compulsory, just as it is with state and federal. In those jurisdictions, political parties have therefore got involved as well, and that is a moot benefit mm. or disbenefit. One of the things that has been probably one of the reasons that the current Adelaide City Council is being reflected upon negatively by community is we actually, in South Australia, we don't like overt factions mm. because overt factions are political. Whether they're party political in genesis or not is kind of immaterial. They're usually issue-based or attitude-based or values-based or philosophically based. Mm. I have not been able to discern any consistent philosophy or values or issues that the current dominant faction have as the anchor rallying point or unifying point. And now with former councillor and deputy Lord Mayor Hossam Abiyad having resigned and left, none of the rest of that faction have any more than 18 months experience in local government. So and I say this with no negative reflection on individuals, but the reality is the net result is that the group that control council a lot of the time and the majority of the time are the least experienced members of council. The Lord Mayor has served a half a term previously and then a full term. So, two-thirds of a term as an elected member, and has the benefit, it's fair to say, of having been a general manager in the city council some years earlier. The rest of the experience, of service experience, actually resides in the balance of council, the minority balance of council, and that is about as eclectic a group of people as you could ever, ever want to identify. The only unifying factor is that they are in the minority, and that they're therefore understandably disaffected, understandably concerned. But I think that disaffection and concern extends well beyond those people. You know, and what I did experience going to the extent that I could connect with people, and it was through social media, which was something that didn't exist 20 exactly. years ago when I last got elected. What I've heard from people is, we don't like factions, full stop. We don't like factions. Mm. And therefore, the first question is, so are you factional? Are you with Team Adelaide? And, no, I'm not. I am an independent. I'm bringing, 60 years of, or 40 years of adult experience back into the chamber with me. That was only 20 years experience 20 years ago when I last got elected. So again, I keep diversing, but not diverting. Some of the things that I've talked about in my campaign and that are available on my website, some little blogs that I've done, are about recognising the significant power of the cultural economy. And when I say cultural economy, I don't just mean the arts. I don't just mean the opera and the orchestra and the festivals. I actually mean the more broader small c definition of culture, and that includes, of course, the arts. It includes the applied arts. It includes the community cultural development arts. It includes sport and recreation. It includes the reasons why we associate together in interest groups. It includes learning, and therefore education. It includes for that matter, and while I'm not a person of religious faith, it includes faith communities as well, who are one of the last vestiges of community connectedness in our societies today. It's all of that. And when you start to think about the power of the cultural economy and what are the demand drivers for sustaining the cultural economy, I start to realise that a dollar invested in those areas, we would largely define it as cultural and community, creates cascade benefits in the rest of the economy, and of course our food culture and our wine culture, our small bars, our pubs, our clubs, they're all a part of culture as well. And you start turbocharging drivers of demand for that, and you think about Mad March, and we all know, you know, we love it or we love to hate it, or we love it 1 minute and hate it another minute. But that is what a turbocharged Adelaide cultural economy looks like. And relatively speaking, for the amount of state government investment to create that explosion of energy and activity and engagement and community and connectedness and fun is absolutely palpable at that time of year. And while we probably none of us could sustain that level of frenetic activity or would want to for the whole year, we're blessed with in a secular way, four distinct seasons. And each of those seasons has the potential to for activity to converge and coalesce. Premier Stephen Marshall is now talking very, very proactively about a winter cluster and a major new winter element. I am aware of what that is, and I'm required to maintain confidentiality at the moment, but by the next time we speak, it will be out there. And to that new element, I see a number of community projects that I have been closely identified with actually shifting in the calendar in order to create a new whole that is greater than the sum of the parts. So I think Adelaide Festival of Ideas, Cabaret Fringe, these are events, programs, projects, call it what you will, that can be anywhere in the calendar. And, you know, sometimes more is more. Certainly Mad March has taught us that more is more. Even the Clipsal, well, it's no longer the Clipsal, even the Superloop Adelaide 500, while it leaves me cold and I get a little frustrated at the inconvenience, it is in fact only inconvenience, and I'm more than prepared to live and let live for that period, because it gives a great deal of joy and pleasure and happiness to a stack of people, many of whom would otherwise have no reason at any other time of the year to visit the city, because we are a very largely metropolitan community in South Australia. 80% of us live in Greater Adelaide. Only 20% live in regional and rural South Australia, which makes us one of the most urbanised states in Australia. there are many other things that I would like to be a part of seeing evolve in Adelaide. And the next time we talk, I'd look forward to expanding on that a little bit more as well.
I look forward to that too, Greg. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.